And a group called Tin Sonzia, which means shadow of the sun, and a song called Yihale Kozake, which translates as Cossacks rode off to battle. It's a song about their heroism, and it is also a song about sweethearts waiting for their return from battle, waiting with trepidation and hope. Tin Sonzia and Yihale Kozake. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. З вами Павліна Макуарі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you from Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada, courtesy PCJ Radio. I'm your host, Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie, по-українське Павліна, and I'm delighted to have you with me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've got Ukrainian Jewish heritage and another look at the Tkuma Institute in Dnipropetrovsk. As well, we have an interview with Sergei Loiko, and Sergei is the author of a book called Aeroports, and this is the story of the courageous battle for the Donetsk airport. It is a novel, but it is based on real-life events and real-life people. So stay tuned for all of that. We've also got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a song dating back a few years. It goes back to 2006. It is the soundtrack of a movie called Kobza Forever. And the song is about what is considered Ukraine's national tree, the kalena, the high bush cranberry. Here they are now, Kobza with Kalena.
Мама
Next, a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now. Brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario.
Добрий день! This is Renata Gnanets at the Faina Petrikova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art in Lviv, Ukraine. The Tkuma Ukrainian Institute for Holocaust Studies in Dnipropetrovsk is widely known throughout Ukraine and abroad for its work devoted to Jewish history in Ukraine, Holocaust studies, and the problems of international relations. Since its inception, the Tkuma Institute has been actively involved in publishing scientific monographs and textbooks and conducting international scientific conferences and educational seminars. As well, domestically, Tkuma implements many cultural and educational projects. These include Sunday University and the Dnipro Historical Club. Sunday University takes place every third Sunday of the month and addresses issues in Jewish history, the history of Ukraine, and world history. In 2012 and 2013, lectures, conversations, and roundtables were scheduled on a variety of topics designed to deepen understanding of the origins of xenophobia, the background of the Holocaust, and the causes of religious confrontations. The main objective of the project is to cultivate an attitude of tolerance and cross-cultural understanding. At Sunday University, there are also lessons on Jewish traditions, philosophy, psychology, and other topics of a cultural and historical nature. The idea of the Sunday University lecture series at Tkuma is not new. Dr. Igor Shchupak, director of the Institute and Museum, had conducted similar programs in different cities and countries. The opening of the museum at the Tkuma Institute provided an ideal platform for Sunday University in Dnipropetrovsk. Classes are held in the form of interactive lectures, conversations, roundtables, interviews, tours, and workshops. They are conducted by research staff, historians, philosophers, political scientists, religious scholars from Ukraine and around the world. Sunday University attracts a diverse audience of people from different professions, ages, and faith. The Dnipro Historical Club is another project of the Tkuma Institute. It is carried out in collaboration with the Institute for Social Research. The project has attracted the attention of historians, teachers, college students, and the intellectual elite of the city. The History Club was created as a place for professional and amateur historians to meet in an informal setting. At these meetings, well-known domestic and foreign researchers are invited, and professional historians raise topical issues of historical memory of the Jewish and Ukrainian peoples. The main objective of the project is to transcend the centuries-old negative stereotypes and address the painful questions of collective historical memory that impede the full integration of the Jewish community as an integral and important part of Ukrainian society. For more information, visit the Institute's website www.tkuma.dp.ua. Next week, I will tell you about an outstanding righteous Gentile featured at the Tkuma Ukrainian Institute for Holocaust Studies in Dnipropetrovsk. This is Renata Gnanets at the Faina Petrikova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art in Lviv, Ukraine. Until next time, Shalom.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more, visit them at ukrainianjewishencounter.org and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. For transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, please visit the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com.
Донбасом в кровову годину поставали наші хлопці знов за батьківщину. Повставали наші хлопці знов за батьківщину. Україну злії люди хочуть зґвалтувати, тому стали українці її захищати. Тому стали українці її захищати. Із всієї України зібрались завзяті, грудьми стали до загину рятувати матір, грудьми стали до загину рятувати матір. Ради смерті урагани, смерть носила люта, та не зможуть ці тирани в рабство нас закути, та не зможуть ці тирани в рабство нас закути. Буде жити добра слава на землі козацькій, і збереже Бог державу у любові братській, і збереже Бог державу у любові братській.
And a song called Oi Uluzi Pid Donbasom, which translates as O in a Meadow in the Donbass. And that is a song that was sent to me by Orist in Odessa. Orist contacted me some time back asking for help. He's one of many volunteer organizations in Ukraine, as I found out later, that are supporting volunteers as well as the regular army. And this just broke my heart because he was asking for help, and I really didn't know what all I could do other than express my sympathy and ask him what he needed for help. And the sad thing is, they don't really ask for much. I think right now, the way that we can help them is simply to tell their story, and that's what I'm hoping to do here on this program. That song, it was just a video. There was no byline or credits, so presumably that was recorded by a group of soldiers or volunteer soldiers, which has been happening in history for centuries in that beleaguered country. Again, that was Oi Uluzi Pid Donbasom, a meadow in the Donbass. Coming up next is a group from Poland called Taraka, and this is a song that was written in the Maidan era a couple of years ago when there were uprisings in the center of Kyiv in protest of the corrupt government. Here they are now, Taraka with Podaj Ruku Ukraini, Give Ukraine a Hand.
Серця, хоч докола срока зима, смарзнєте уста, окрик вольності ще зачина. Co dziś powstało, niech żyje wiecznie i nie zginie. Ty nie stój obok i podaj rękę Ukrainie. Że nie wmerła Ukraina, kiedy razem jesteśmy jak rodzina. Jest nadzieja, co wiecznie przypomina, że nie wmerła Ukraina.
przyjaciel, co wielki znalazł się potrzebie. Wyruszył w drogę, która poprowadziła ciebie. Idź ramię w ramię, a przyjaźń wasza nie przeminie. Nadeszła pora, by podać rękę Ukrainie. Że nie wmerła Ukraina, kiedy razem jesteśmy jak rodzina. Jest nadzieja, co wiecznie przypomina, że nie wmerła Ukraina. Kiedy przyjdzie czas na bal, jak po nocy dzień, wtedy będziesz niczym brat, to nie sen. Że nie wmerła Ukraina, kiedy razem jesteśmy jak rodzina. Jest nadzieja, co wiecznie przypomina, że nie wmerła, że nie wmerła, nie wmerła Ukraina. Kiedy razem jesteśmy jak rodzina, jest nadzieja, co wiecznie przypomina, że nie wmerła Ukraina.
Wysłuchajcie radio programu Nasz Holos Radio Ukraińskiego Korienia po mreży PCJ Radio, jaka podaje wam angielską mowę z brytyjską i Kolumbii w Kanadzie. You're listening to Nasz Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Up next, an interview with Sergei Loiko, who is the author of a book, Aeroport, based on his experiences covering the Battle of Debaltseve and the battle for the Donetsk Airport as war correspondent for the Los Angeles Times. He's in Canada right now launching his book, and we had the good fortune to speak with him the day after his launch in Ottawa. The chair of Ukrainian studies at the University of Ottawa hosted a presentation entitled The Battle of Donetsk Airport by Sergei Loiko, a war correspondent with the Los Angeles Times. Sergei Loiko was born in Finland, and he's been a correspondent for the Los Angeles Times since 1991. He has covered wars in Chechnya, Tajikistan, Georgia, Nagorno-Karabakh, Afghanistan, and Iraq. He reported from Ukraine from the beginning of Maidan in November of 2013 to the Battle of Debaltseve in Donetsk in February of 2015. He's the only international reporter to have spent 4 full days at the height of the battle for the Donetsk airport in October 2014. Last night, Mr. Loiko gave a visual presentation based on his Ukrainian language book, Aeroport 2015, about the battle for the Donetsk airport in eastern Ukraine. He joins us now by telephone from Toronto. Sergei, welcome.
Yes, how are you doing?
I am doing well, thank you, and we're delighted to have you here on the program to tell us all about your book and your experiences covering the war in Ukraine. So my first question to you is, how did you end up in Ukraine? You've covered, you're a war correspondent, so that's kind of a given, but with the lack of interest, shall we say, in Ukraine, in the mainstream media, all of a sudden Ukraine was in the news, and how is it that you ended up in Ukraine rather than, say, the Middle East?
Well, I work in Moscow, and okay. tensions were building at the time when hundreds of Ukrainian protesters gathered in Maidan Square in the middle of the city, and they protested against the government of corrupt President Viktor Yanukovych. And at some point it looked as if the protests were subsiding. But there was a moment on November the 30th when armed to the teeth with clubs and shields, our riot police squads attacked armless students, and there were like 50 or 60 of them there, and they beat them real hard, they arrested them, and the next day the entire city and half Ukraine were in Kyiv, and I saw the biggest rally I've ever seen in my life. There were at least 1 million people, and that's how it all began. And basically after that, I almost never left Ukraine until the hot stage of the war between Russia and Ukraine was over.
You were in Donetsk, or Debaltseve, I guess, and you covered the Donetsk airport battles. That must have been terrifying.
Yeah, that was quite an experience. You must understand that a group, a small group of Ukrainian soldiers and ragtag volunteers, surrounded by far superior forces made up of Russian mercenaries, local rebels and separatists armed to the teeth by Russia, and even Russian regular troops were besieging the airport for 242 long days and nights, longer than the Stalingrad battle.
Wow.
And the airport was not anything but not a fortress. You fly from airports and land at airports several times a month, and those are beautiful buildings made largely of glass and metal railings and some concrete. But what I saw there was just amazing picture of the tarmac covered with shattered glass, twisted metal bars and railings, and some concrete and all, and a small group of Ukrainian soldiers bravely and selflessly defending the what cannot be defended for days and nights on end. They didn't sleep, they didn't eat properly, because there was not a cubic centimeter of space of air there which could protect you from bullets. And they were constantly under a rain of bullets and rounds and missiles and mortars. And they never eat properly. They never drank properly. They were ill-supplied, but they still resisted. And once I asked one of the defenders, what the hell are you fighting here? What are you defending? Don't you see that you are just defending plain air? And he said, yeah, we're defending our air of freedom.
Wow.
And for this perseverance, for this bravery, for this selfless heroism, even their enemies called them cyborgs.
Yes. Yeah. When did you leave the area?
I was there for... actually, I was planning to leave earlier, but the armored vehicles, which were supposed to replace the personnel and bring some supplies and ammo, all of them were burned down, and I stayed in the airport for 4 days. And every day I witnessed some totally heroic act, and some people may say that it was complete madness. But at some point, a Ukrainian tank, which was sent there to offer some firepower support to the defenders, it was burnt down, and three tank men, they jumped out of the crew of the tank, and they were shot down by the rebels and by the Russians, and they were dead. And at dusk, the defenders of the airport, they crawled out onto the tarmac, and they brought back two bodies. They couldn't find the third body because it was blown into pieces by a direct heat during a mortar attack. And the next day, the commander of the tank troops stationed nearby called the commander of the airport garrison and said, look, we need to send the boy home for a proper burial. And he was told, look, he's disintegrated. There's nothing left of him. And he said, why don't you just find something we could send back home to his family? And they they sent a reconnaissance unit out onto the tarmac, which was shot through in the crossfire from all sides, and they found a charred, dark and blackened and smoked piece of the tankman's thigh. And they came back and said they found something. And then the commander held a little meeting of all those who could stand up and hold arms. And he said, look, I cannot give you this order. You don't know this man. You've never seen him. You don't know where he lives, where he comes from. He came here to help us, but he died. And now we need to send him home for a proper burial. So, but it's something I cannot order. Are there any volunteers to go out on the tarmac and risk your lives for a piece of flesh of a soldier you personally don't know? And everybody raised their hands. And when a very, very severe battle began, in the height of the battle, two young men jumped out the windows of the airport and they raced armless to the point where these charred remains were found, and they found an empty box from a grenade launcher and put this piece of flesh into the box, and they tied it with a piece of wire to the railings of an armored vehicle which arrived to bring some supplies, and off the guy of what was left of it went home to his family. And some unthinkable things like that happened almost on a daily basis there, because the whole situation was crazy. The whole place looked totally surreal. It was so craftily destroyed, and the boarding sleeves of the airport looked like skeletons of dinosaurs. And at some point it looked as if it was a film set. It cannot be for real. And any minute Steven Spielberg or Ridley Scott would come out and say, cut. And they would all go home, but nothing like that happened. And the soldiers defending the airport, they looked the same. They looked surreal. They were very dirty. They never had enough water. They never washed themselves. And one commander said to me, in the airport, you don't wash yourself. You scratch. Those who are lazy enough, they try to wash themselves. And they look dark and black with soot and smoke. And their eyes were wild with adrenaline and with chronic lack of sleep. And like samurai, they were already kind of half dead. They were ready to die. They didn't care anymore. And the amazing thing is that in Pesky and in some other places around the airport, there were hundreds and thousands of Ukrainian soldiers and volunteers who were lining up to go to the airport because they knew that was the main battle of the war. And it was not a real army Putin's men were fighting at the airport, because when they confronted the real Ukrainian army, weakened and inexperienced, they defeated it at many locations. Mm-hmm. But here, they came across something they didn't expect. They were confronted by cyborgs. And those cyborgs were living people. They were from Maidan. It's what happened was that it was not the army. It was Maidan resistance, Maidan people, Maidan survivors who took weapons in their hands and moved to the airport. It was so very symbolic. And that was the end of the hot stage of the war, because the Russian losses were so huge that Putin realized that he can defeat the army units, he can defeat even the whole Ukrainian army, but he cannot defeat the spirit of freedom of the Ukrainian people, which was so vivid and afloat in the airport. And yes, in the end, the airport fell. It collapsed on the heads of its defenders. Some of them were imprisoned, some of them died. But it was a Pyrrhic victory for Russia, and it became a Kosovo field for Ukraine. I'm sure that will go down in the history books as a great feat, a great deed of Ukrainian warriors to protect their independence, to protect their motherland's freedom, and to protect Ukraine's aspirations.
I hear a lot of pain in your voice. You've seen so much. I'm in pain myself just listening to your stories, and you were actually there. You've written a book called Aeroport.
Yes.
And was this a cathartic thing for you? Did this help to deal with that?
Well, it's a novel. I've spoken out as a reporter, and I've written dozens of stories. I was awarded with most prestigious prizes for my coverage of Ukraine war, including OPC Bob Considine Award. But I felt, as a journalist, you're limited to the format of journalism, no matter whether you're a photographer or a writer. And I'm both of at the airport, I was in both qualities. And I felt a lot inside me, which was bursting out like an alien. And I just, sometimes they say, you should write when you cannot help it. And I couldn't help it anymore. And the novel was burning my chest through. And finally it got out, and within a month I wrote it. Why novel? Why not documentary? Because I knew only about 50 warriors, cyborgs, who fought at the airport and elsewhere. But there were hundreds of them replacing one another. And I didn't want to offend anybody. So my novel is based on my own recollections, my old recordings, and on what I filled my notebook with, and also on 43 hours of recorded interviews with the defenders of the airport who stayed there to the last second and survived. And the book is not only about the airport. Only every other chapter is devoted to the last 5 days of the airport siege. But chapters in between, they tell you through the eyes of a photographer who is the main character in the story. They tell you the whole history of Ukrainian revolution and conflict. It's Maidan, the carnage at Maidan at the hands of unknown secret snipers on February the 20th, then the annexation of Crimea, then Russian invasion and the capture of Slovyansk, then the treacherous encirclement of Ukrainian troops at Ilovaisk, and courageous defense of Pesky, and the entire war is in that novel. You know, there was a moment when I took a picture of a machine gunner fighting in Pesky, defending his position, and he had this very old 1940s machine gun, and his hand was bandaged, and he looked like an American soldier from Vietnam Chronicles, lying there on a blanket made up of shot rounds, used rounds. And when my story was published a few days later, the editor said, this is an iconic photo, and he placed it on top of the story. And I was so happy, and I called the commander of the unit and said, look, your guy will be leading the story and the paper tomorrow. He said, no, he will not be leading anything. He's dead. And I made a stupid mistake. I posted another photograph of this soldier on my Facebook page and said, Ivan Kuryata, that was his name, died yesterday defending Ukraine. And there were lots of comments, glory to the heroes, and blah, blah, blah. And finally, there was one comment that stood out. It was like very, very strong and very passionate. It ran like no, like N and 10 or 15 O's. No, I don't believe. And I saw that this note was written by his wife.
Oh.
So basically she found out about her husband's death from my Facebook post. And for a long time I felt as if I was personally responsible for this heroic man's death. And there's lots of stories like that in the book, and I strongly advise you to read it. It came out both in Russian and in Ukrainian in September. And it was my condition that it should be published simultaneously in both languages. And English translation is in the works, and it will come out in English in July. And Poles publishing it in February, and the Dutch, and Estonians, and Czechs, and Georgians, and even two Hollywood companies, Columbia Pictures and Sony, they were desperately trying to buy the rights for four of my stories, Los Angeles Times stories, and they wanted exclusive rights to the names and to the characters of some characters and to the situations surrounding them. That would effectively mean that I would have no right to use my characters anywhere else. And I said, no, the book came out, and I don't want some Californian guy sitting at home comfortably and sipping wine and writing something he makes up based on real characters, based on the names of real cyborgs, and based on real circumstances. So I said, why don't you take my book as a plot? And I just threw away $150,000. Maybe I'm an idiot, but I want, if there's ever a movie about this heroic battle, it should be told as a true story, the way my book is. It's a novel based on true facts. It's a true story I witnessed with my own eyes.
Sergei, thank you so much for telling us your story, telling us about your book. Now, the English language version will be entitled Aeroport 2015 as well?
Yeah, it will be called Airport, and we expect it to come out before the 1st of July.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, for telling us about this, for writing the book, and for sharing your incredible stories. All the best to you. Thanks
again. And the best to you. It was nice talking to you.
Thank you so much, Sergei.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
And we were speaking with Sergei Loiko, our war correspondent for the Los Angeles Times, about his book called Aeroport. Sergei Loiko, author of Aeroport, and we were speaking with him on live radio Wednesday, January 20th, on the Nanaimo edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. And you're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio on the PCJ Radio Network, coming to you from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Vysluchajte radio programu Nash Holos, radio Krinskoho Korinia, po mereži PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. Up next is a song by Otvin Ta, and this was recorded back in 2010, and it became the anthem of the battle for the Donetsk airport. It's called Poperadu, Forward March.
Друже,
а мені без себе й дуже,
бо біля мене справжній друже. мені байдуже, хай як доля припече, поруч другове плече.
That is a song called Fsif's Feet by Diana Mess from London, England, and this song translates as World Support Ukraine, also Russians Go Home. And that is the soundtrack of a new music video released on December 15th, 2015. The song urges the world and people to pay attention to the war happening at the front line of Europe, which is Ukraine. Proceeds from the sales of the song will go to humanitarian charity projects, and you can download the track from iTunes and Google Play. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nasholos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. Elsewhere in the world, on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com. As well, make sure to follow Nasholos on Twitter, like our Facebook page, and check out the Nasholos blog. Не жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень, бо вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Коли зла думка до голови приходить, той і здоров'ю шкодить. And our proverb of the week translates as evil thoughts are bad for one's health. Well, that about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To take us to the end of our program, we have some good old-time music from Edmonton, Alberta, Wallach Nash, and a medley of Ukrainian folk dance tunes. I'm Pavlina on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do побачення.